1 Samuel chapter 12. Well, Israel wanted to have a king, and so God gave them Saul. And to start with, he seemed to be just the man they wanted. Tall, handsome, strong, and he saved them from their enemies, the Ammonites. And now Samuel is going to address the people. Samuel said to the people of Israel, "I did what you asked me to do. I gave you a king to rule over you, and now you have him as your leader." You know, in the book of Hosea, Hosea says on God's behalf, "I gave you a king in my anger and I took him away in my wrath." So yes, God did give them a king, but he was very angry with them. And why was he angry with them? Why was he angry with them for wanting a king?
Because they sort of rejected him.
Because they'd rejected him. Who was their real king?
God.
So God was their real king and they said, "Ah, we want a human king." And so God sort of gives people what they want, even if it's not really for the best. And you think of how the father in the parable of the prodigal son gives the younger son what he wants, even though it wasn't really, on one hand, a great idea. But I think the point is you've got to be careful what you want because you might actually get it. So Samuel says, "As for me, I'm old and grey-headed, and my sons are with you. I've been your leader from my youth until now." Remember, we were reading that Samuel was taken to serve in the tabernacle when he was just stopped being breastfed. So he could have been 3, 4, 5 years old. "Here I am. If I have done anything wrong, accuse me now in the presence of the Lord and the king that he has chosen. Did I take anybody's cow or anybody's donkey? Did I cheat or oppress anybody? Did I accept a bribe from anyone? If I did any of these things, I'll pay back what I've taken." But the people replied, "No, you never cheated us. You never oppressed us. You never stole anything from anyone." Samuel replied, "So Yahweh and the king he has chosen are witnesses today that you found me to be innocent in your eyes." "Yes, Yahweh be witness," they replied. Now, that's a great position to be in, to be able to say, like Jesus did, "Which of you convinces me of sin?" Or to be like Paul and say, "I've served God with good conscience." That's a great thing to be able to say. Samuel went on, "Yahweh is the one who chose Moses and Aaron and who brought your fathers out of Egypt. And now stand as you are standing, and I will accuse you before the Lord by reminding you of all the Lord's mighty works that he did to save you and your fathers. When Jacob and his family went to Egypt and the Egyptians oppressed them, your fathers cried out to Yahweh for help, and he sent Moses and Aaron, who brought them out of Egypt and settled them in this land. But the people forgot the Lord their God, and so he let the Philistines and the king of Moab and Sisera fight against your fathers and conquer them."
That they worship idols.
That's right, they worship idols. "So they cried to the Lord for help and said, 'We have sinned because we turned away from you, Lord, and, as you said, David, and worship the idols of Baal and Astarte. Rescue us from our enemies and we will worship you.' And the Lord sent Gideon, Barak, Jephthah, and finally me, Samuel. We rescued you from your enemies, and you lived in peace. But when you saw that Nahash, king of Ammon, was going to attack you, you rejected Yahweh as your king, and you said to me, 'We want a king to rule us.' Now, here is the king you chose. You wanted him, and now Yahweh has given him to you. And all will continue to go well with you if you worship the Lord your God, serve him, listen to him, and obey his commandments, and if you and your king follow him. But if you do not listen to the Lord, but disobey his commands, he will be against you and your king. So stand where you are, and you'll see a great thing which Yahweh is going to do. Now is the time of the dry season, but I'm going to pray, and the Lord will send thunder and rain. When this happens, you will realize that you have committed a great sin against the Lord in asking for a king." So it was all a sad story, wasn't it? "Oh, we've got a problem. Oh, God, help us. We're really sorry we worshipped idols. Sorry, sorry, sorry. Please, please, just do this for us." And he did. "Oh, great, everything's good." And then they went back to worshipping idols. And then, oh, they got attacked again by their enemies. "Oh, God, help us." Okay. And it was a miserable cycle, and you don't want to be in that miserable cycle. You don't want to be like that. You want to rise up above that and give your whole heart and soul to God, not this whole business of, oh, God, help me. You don't want all that. And then, oh, yeah, I'm going to worship idols. And as you all know, we don't have idols today, physical ones, but we have idols like screens, idols like cars, expensive toys. And adults have expensive toys, children have expensive toys. All that you see with your eyes, these are all idols. So Samuel prayed, and on that same day, the Lord sent rain and a great thunder. And all the people feared the Lord and Samuel. And they said to Samuel, please pray to the Lord your God for us so that we won't die. We realize that besides all our many sins, we've sinned even more by asking for a king. Don't be afraid, Samuel replied. Even though you have done such an evil thing, do not turn away from the Lord, but serve him with all your heart. Well, all right, they say, oh, yeah, yeah, we have sinned in asking for a king. And I always want to say, yeah, well, guys, why don't you actually stop it and say, okay, Saul, you don't need to be king. We're good. God's our king. But they don't, you see. And they promise God that they will. So he says, don't go after false gods. They cannot help or save you. They are not real. The Lord has made a solemn covenant with you, and he will not leave you, because he has taken you as his own people. As for me, God forbid that I should sin against him by no longer praying for you. Instead, I will teach you what is good and right. Only obey the Lord and serve him faithfully, and remember the great things he has done for you. So he says, God forbid that I should sin by not praying for you. So there is such a thing as a sin of omission. What that means is that you might not have done anything bad, but you didn't do what you should do. And to not pray for other people, in this case, was a sin. So for example, you might see an old lady who slipped over on the ice, and there she is lying there, and you're rushing home, and you think, oh, I haven't got time to help that old lady. And you come home and think, well, what did I do wrong today? I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't steal. I didn't swear. I didn't do anything wrong. I am so good. But you did, because you omitted to help the old lady who had fallen over on the ice. And so it is, really, with Samuel, that he says that, God forbid that I should sin by not praying for you. So we must pray for each other.